Hello and welcome to this episode of No Blasters with me, Kieran Bartlett. I'm wearing, you guessed it, that sweet Big Trouble Little China t-shirt on other people seem to like. Anyway, today's episode is sponsored by the finest of all fineries, the best little eatery in these six counties. What the fuck am I on about? Anyway, right, sponsored by Joxer. We love Joxer. This is the home of chaffles. This is chicken. It's waffles. It's sriracha. It's maple syrup. It's a great time. They also do a really dirty Caesar salad in there that I enjoy. Joxer is open. What? Dan. The Caesar's gone since I was in. I was in a couple of weeks ago and they had it. I don't know how I feel about that, Joxer, but anyway, I'm sure it's delicious. I bet you they're still doing the Caesar in Hillsborough. They must be. I love it, right? I might go there a day. Anyway, right. Here's the thing with Joxer. It's open every day from 9 until 4. It's open from 5 until late on Thursdays through Sundays. If you want to book a late table, and you would be better off booking it, by the way, please use resdiary.com and search for Joxer on there, and you can book a table in on there. They're an extremely accommodating restaurant. They have locations in Bangor, Hillsborough, and Hollywood. They're very good about, like, dietary requirements, menu changes, dog-friendly, all that kind of stuff. Great times. They have a kids' menu. The brunch menu, though, during the day is the shit. They also have, they do cocktails and things like that as well. We dirty mimosa, if that's what you're into. They do all your barista coffees, all your buns. What a place. We love it. Joxer, they love us. Go to Joxer. Do that today. Also, today's episode, sponsored by Manscaped. Manscaped.com offers you the very best, the Champions League of pube removal services, right? This is like, we're talking about the weed whacker for your ears and nose. We're talking about the hedger, which does hair. I use the hedger up here. There's the handyman, which does wee bits, wee lines and all. And then there's the lawnmower, which, to be honest, I also secretly used to do my lines, but also my lines, right? The crevices, the valleys. This is what we get into here at No Blasters, hardcore pube removage. And we do, so if you go over to the website, that's manscaped.com, and use the code NOBLASTERS20, that's the word NOBLASTERS, all one word, and the number 20, NOBLASTERS20, you get 20% off and free shipping. I highly recommend the performance package, which is basically a wee bit of everything. You'll get a couple of the different gadgets, including the lawnmower. I think we're on the 5.0 these days on the lawnmower, which is a great thing. You can lock it by tapping the wee button a couple of times. You can unlock it. It has a great wee charger, a wee light, and I'll let you know how much charge is left on it. Great product. It's also really good. It has skin-safe technology, so you don't snag the bag. And it's a great time. So also highly recommend the ball deodorant and the ball wipes. So No Blasters 20 over at manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping. Cheers, Manscaped. We love it. Today's episode is we're joined. What? Lads, I won't lie. I'm not sure this morning, right? I'm very tired.
All good.
We're joined by the boys from Lavengro. So what a great band. From Derry.
Yeah.
Derry High.
Derry
High. So I heard you guys on the radio, and then I met, I think your brother did it.
The Kosh,
Rowan Boyle's Comedy Club up, which he sort of doesn't tell you it's on the other side of Derry. So when you're driving from Belfast, you're thinking, oh, I'm nearly there.
It's a trick.
When you hit Dungiven, and you're just not. So that's I was good. But yeah, so what's the crack?
All good, man.
Talk to us then a wee bit about, you were about to say somewhere a minute ago, and I fucking fully cut you off, I think. I can't remember. I'm very tired.
I know.
So let's talk a wee bit about your band and how you guys get started, but also a treacherous drive here today in the snow.
Oh, I was driving out there, and I swear to God, hey, it was like, you needed the Jesus handles and everything. I don't have any of them.
What's the Jesus handles?
You never heard of Jesus handles?
No.
So, like, so you know the handles in the car? Some people usually put their suits on. It's called Jesus handles because you hold them and you go, Jesus!
No, I mean, like, I've never heard of that.
No,
that's hanging there, right?
I was looking for mine because, like, we were sliding, like, But where was the worst one? Was it Glen Chain, wasn't it?
Just after
Don't Give Him, where the Glen Chain is.
Aye.
So I was like overtaking this boy, and I didn't see like the snow was still coming out of the side of the road there, like, and I was like, right, that'll be grand there. So I started overtaking, and then just boom, clipped the back air, and the back end started going out that way. And I was like, oh Jesus, I was like this here for a good 5 seconds. Caught myself again and put back in. I was like, I was dodged, like, but it was so bad.
Do you remember a couple of years ago they sent some reporter up to the Glen Chain and there was like a car buried in the snow? Do you remember this?
I heard about that.
I was fucking mental. He's just standing there going, look, it's on car. UTV
this
live,
is Kieran, you know, Parrish reporting.
Yeah. fucking mental.
Fucking mad, yeah, Kieran Parrish. He's everywhere.
He loves it. That's fucking wild. So what's the crack end of the band? So wee bit of band history, right?
Mm.
What's the crack of the name of this band? Because
I don't
really.
This was coming, like.
No, because I when they were talking about just on the radio, because when I was in queue one day, they played one of your songs, and I was like, holy shit, because sometimes when, as a song, I sound like such a cunt now, but sometimes when they play stuff from here and they go, these guys are from here, it's really great, yeah, and then they play, and I'm like, are they? But I actually legit was like, holy shit.
Thank you, man.
So what's the crack? What is the crack with the name? What does it mean?
It's a bit of a funny story, like, isn't it? It's the long and the short is, like, it's named after a book.
Right, okay.
And the book was written by his great, was it, would you it's say fucking, great, 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 great,
some sort of ancestor.
What did we have before that?
Oh, fuck, Geneva Project or something.
The Geneva Project, some Geneva. Pure mental.
Sounds like some sort of fucking like evil, evil political organization.
I know,
like,
Epstein's we're there already.
We're just called the Epstein flight logs for a while. Unbelievable.
First single, Jeffrey.
Can you see me?
Unbelievable.
Our actual genre was different. It was like, what would we call it? Pop reggae.
Jesus. Preggy.
Preggy.
We thought we were Bob Marley.
So like, if you took Bob Marley and mixed him with Justin Bieber, you would have got us.
It was proper awful. Our first ever gig, man, we did a song with the Undertones, big shout out Derry Band Heroes and stuff. But they have a song called Get Over You,
and we
thought we would do it in a reggae style. So if they ever hear it, like, because they're like a punk band, those guys thought we'd land on the Dunlow first ever.
I always think of punk and reggae. I'm a big fan of the Police, obviously the band, not the fucking the organization. But anyway,
the PSN,
I'm saying that as if I'm like some guy on the streets, like, you know what I mean, throwing bricks. But like there's a wee bit of crossover, isn't there? A wee bit of punk and reggae sort of works a wee bit.
Oh, aye. Well, like ska and stuff, you would get that sort of reggae element in it.
Wee upstroke.
Oh, aye. That's it. Yeah. And but like back then, like we called ourselves like the Geneva Project, and we were doing this kind of music. And after a while, I think it was probably about 6 months on it, like we thought we were class. But about 6 months later, like, and we weren't going anywhere, and I was like, fuck, boys, we're shite. Like we were shite. And so we're like, we need to start writing our
that's
own songs.
Though. That's fun.
We started writing our own music. Actually, at the time we were doing covers, and
I don't know why they're all reggae. Like we would have took a song like AC/DC Highway to Hell and just did like fucking reggae, just reggae.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so we started writing our own songs, and then we're like, right, we need a new name, we need a new image, we need everything like that. And I remember his big brother at the time was like, he like co-manages us as well, so right. He was like, him and Gareth were out for a walk, and he was like, remember we had a book, our granny had a book or something called Love Angro, and then he rang me in. That's
it, just came from there. So yeah, we get it loads because it's a
what's
word
the
no
about,
one knows,
you know.
Oh man, it's weird. It's called Love Angro, the gypsy, the scholar and the priest. So it's about guy, it's mad. It's about this guy who like travels all around Europe, and like he like embeds himself within like traveling communities, and
right,
he goes around traveling. Also, we just thought it was cool. Like, it's a Roman word.
It's a Romani word, and it means it translates to like word master. So
right, it's a cool wee story.
We
like,
thought it was cool, just and then.
But we get so much shite over it, so we've been hemming and hawing for ages. What we change it, what we won't, and then we just said, nah, you know what, fuck it.
Exactly.
Fuck him. I just don't know what it meant. I was just going, what even is that? But like, that's cool. Like, it's funny, isn't it, though, when you start a band and like
it's so hard, man. You think it's easy. Like,
have you ever been in a conversation band?
What's that?
A band where you meet other musicians and talk about how class your band will be and never play anything.
I've never heard of that.
I've been in a couple of them.
I know what you mean.
I was in a couple of them. I was in an actual band with when I was like fuck, from I was about 15, for a couple of years I was in a band, The Vibes, right?
The Vibes.
Fine band, Dan. You would have loved it. And I thought I was David Gray at this time in my life. I was very confused because it was also heavily influenced by metal. So it was like a metal David Gray and David Gunmetal Gray, if you will. And I was deeply confused. And anyway, but one of the guys in that band was the drummer was he's a legit really good drummer, like, and I was in about four conversation bands with him as well, like where we would like meet up. One of them genuinely was a comedy metal band called Random Pain, and we wanted to or Phantom Pain or something like that. Phantom Pain it might have been, and we wanted to we were gonna just write like comedy metal songs, and then I realized I couldn't really play any of them, but it was a good time, and we never really got it off the ground. I mean, we never played. We just talked about it for ages. We wrote loads of lyrics and then never, I know that one of the songs was like, it had a really long, like a metal name, like a really long name that was all different words for cup. And it was like, it was like Grail of Injustice, comma, Goblet of Curry, comma, you know. I know it finished with Tankard of Doom. I know it finished with that, but I think neither of us smoked or anything, but I definitely feel high talking about it.
That's comedy metal. It actually sounds like a really sad. I go to see it. Like,
and then Steel Panther came out, and we were sort of like, that's kind of the vibe. Except we were more of a, they're more like, I suppose, more like Whitesnake, and we were more like an Iron Maiden vibe.
Oh, yeah, right, class.
But anyway, sorry, that's my life story. But anyway, so how did you sort of, after the Geneva Project?
After Geneva Project, aye.
So we used to have it.
It's funny. Then Lavengro happens, and what's the sort of, so how many of you were in the original band?
There was five, wasn't there, at the time? So Dave has a twin, James, who's the drummer, so Dave's a guitarist, and then we have myself on vocals, and at the time we had a guy called Jack, who was a keyboardist. Now, Jack, absolute unbelievable fella, but we used to call him a fold-up keyboardist, or like a fold-up, pop-up keyboardist. Like, he just used to show up at gigs and never like wrote in chats, never. He just used to show up out of the blue and play, speak, and then he's gone. Like, what a guy. And then Emmett, who was our bassist.
Jack.
That's it.
Silent Jack.
That's him. And Emmett was unreal as well. What a player. He left during COVID, just wasn't for him no more. Now we've got a guy, we're a four-piece now, so we have a guy called Jordan. He's unreal. You met him in the car. Yeah. So he plays a bass. So we started in tech in Northwest Regional College in Derry. So me, Dave and James and Jack and Emmett originally, we were all in doing music in the tech. And we weren't in a band or anything. We just sort of were in different classes. And
it's one of the things where we could all play instruments. We were all mates. So it was like, why don't we like start a band?
Just
for a bit of crack. And we had to take it a bit serious after, because when we had obviously the Geneva Project, and we were just sort of just going for gigs and all that there, and then we realised then after a while, like, look, we can actually play, let's start taking it serious. And we started writing all our own songs, and then actually very quickly we started to get sort of picked up by a few like radio stations like that there, and new management agents came on board, and I was like, Jesus, this is actually working. And then we released a song in 2017, and that was called Think, and it just sort of that blew up. Like RT2FM picked it up on radio, and then like it just sort of blew up from there, and then it was like, holy fuck, it's not just a wee band anymore, like it's actually, we're going to have to take this serious. So we went at it full time, and then it was one of them ones where we did a tour off the back of that, just sort of flying in, about 2019 it would have been then. We were stupid, we waited 2 years to follow up for a single, because we were just stupid going like, oh, this is class, this tour, let's do this. We don't really have to keep, you know, putting out stuff like, and so we released a new song in, and it did okay, because we sort of, like, it was dying a death after a while, and we put out that song, and it was alright to start, it wasn't really getting any traction, but then we got word in it was going to be played on This Morning, ITV, and we were like,
that's mental.
It was classic. I remember I was working in Lifestyle Sports at the time, and there's this woman, she saw to me, she's like, oh, can you get me a shoe and all this, like, so I was like, go getting shoes for all these people and all, and my phone was going absolutely mental.
Oh, seriously,
Jesus Christ,
I was like, what's going on, there's something going on my phone there. So I was like, I went in and I checked, and it was like, oh my god, like, so probably one of the biggest agents in the world, like, he looks after like Billie Eilish, take that, is interested, wanted to come see us in Derry. And so I was like, holy fuck, so I'm doing that. I just gave your woman a shoe and all. And I went up to your man.
I know, who gives a fuck about
that? I know, we're like, fuck off.
Isn't that what I'm thinking? Mate, that is so here.
I know,
exactly. You're getting some mentals happening in your fucking, in your actual life.
Exactly.
And then you're sitting there going,
size six, please.
I used to be sitting there fucking marking people's essays going, it's all right, I've just been talking to the fucking biggest book agent in New York, but sure.
Exactly.
Here's this cunt copy and paste on Wikipedia.
I know. That's exactly it.
Sorry, rage. Sorry, I'm over it. That's the main thing.
I sit down with my manager and I tell the manager crack and he was like, oh, happy days, but look, finish your shift and then you can go talk about it then. I was like, you're a fucking dick.
I know.
And I was like,
finish your shift.
I know. So I had to go and do that there and then, the whole time I was shaking. I was like, happy days. So he basically was like, the booking agent was like, look, you sound amazing. I want to bring something to the table when he's gigging. So we like lied him, was like,
we had no gig.
2 weeks' time. And he's like, where? He's like, in Derry.
Nerve and was like, here, please help us. Every friend, family member.
Yeah, fucking pack it out.
And we thought it was we used to get these, we still do to this day, get these emails, oh, we can offer this, and all, like, songs on Spotify and all this shit. Mm. But we got this email through and we Googled the guy and he's genuinely Billy Eilish's booking agent. Saul's his name, he's still involved.
Remember Johnny gave him the number?
Johnny gave him a phone number.
A fake digit at the, or like a one less digit at the end. It was like, it's obviously a spam. Fake. And then they got back and was like, look, mate, there's only, like, that's not enough digits and all that. I want to give you a call. And then Johnny's like, fuck,
happy days.
Rang him, it was real. So he flew over to the gig. We packed it out
the room, man.
And he, there and then.
That's like imagine an actual Nigerian prince.
It was class, like, because straight after he was like, right, come on, let's go. And he took us in, and there was the backstage area, but there was a room behind that where like nobody else was. He said, I want to chat to you, like, and we want to get something happening here. So he came on and he was like, right, I'm going to do this. And all the plan was happening. I was like, happy days. Like, I mean, a month later, he told us to leave our jobs and then he flew us over to London. Had us on with every top producer at the time, and I was like doing all these songwriting sessions and all. So it was like going from a band, you're writing songs in your room and you're paying all this money to go to like a
recording studio.
And then they get in this now and it's just so accessible.
That's
and
unreal.
You're just writing songs with all these big writers and all.
How did they come? He heard you on this morning.
Yeah, his wife
thought it was a plant. Remember?
She thought it was a plant
by, like, the industry.
They thought, oh, this new Irish band, or they must have paid to get on this lap. Yeah. But it just came out of the blue, like, they just contacted us.
That's mental.
It was, and that story was amazing. Like, and then after getting signed in, it was short. I reckon this was maybe it sort of fed into 2020. And Saul's amazing. He had all the big festivals in the UK lined up and the likes of that. COVID happened. And we sort of got put in the back burner a wee bit, to be fair. And Saul will tell you the same. Saul, like, I think it probably was too soon for us where he came on board. Still involved now. But that whole experience was amazing. And then since then, really, only sort of as Emmett left in COVID, we sort of had a wee bit of a change and we sort of went back to the drawing board a wee bit, didn't we?
We had to literally start from scratch.
It was more or less starting
from
scratch.
What did he play? He was bass, was he?
He was bass, and he was an amazing bass player. And great guy.
Remember Woody, like, Woody Shop? Like,
that's so it,
though. Like, where we live in it's a pure, sort of, I would say, a rough area in Derry. Like, but there was this boy that owns a corner shop at the end, and he was like, oh, I love your band. My daughter loves your band and all. Like, I have a house next door to the shop. You can have it. And we're like, you serious? And he's like, you can have this and you can rehearse and play, do whatever you want. And we're like, happy days. So he gave us his house. And it was like, slowly, we used it and we practiced and we recorded on it. But I'd say over the course of about 8 months, our friends started ticking over.
Then
it turned like eventually we were out of it and all our friends
were all on it. So out there, got nothing about
it. Crack house, that's all right.
It turned into that, but then, locked ourselves in there for 8 months and that was the biggest turning point, I'd say, ever in our entire career.
I've heard that about a couple of bands, to be fair. Like, do you ever hear, there's an American band called Local Natives?
No,
they did something like that. They basically rented like a house over in fucking California somewhere. I think that's where we're from. And they just fucking lived in the house.
Class.
And wrote this, like, they have this great album called Gorilla Manor. It's great. Like, you just fucking, if you're in that sort of close proximity,
that's it.
You just fucking do it. You know what I mean? Instead of like somebody maybe coming in with like half a song written or a full thing and sort of going, That process can be fucking rare.
It's hard, and we wrote some shit as well. 90%, probably 90% of what we did in the house was shit. Like, and then
the other 10% was like, I know it sounds like fucking cringy and artsy and all. Yeah. Like, musicians and artists, and even like yourself, like sometimes you get in touch of who you are. Here, but it was
find your voice, find yourself.
But it's like for us, that time alone was like, Jesus, we're actually not the band that we thought we were. Like, our music was completely different. Like the song, like, if you heard it, do you hear a song Anchors and stuff like that there? That would have been a product of being in that house.
Right,
like, where we actually wrote songs about real things real experiences, because usually we were trying to write a song about Boy Meets Girl and Boy Shag's Girl.
You know, yeah, because that guy, Boy Shag's Girl, I think that was Beethoven.
Beethoven's
Symphony Number 69. Boy Shag's Girl. That guy, what do you call that guy? Shawn Mendes, because I know he was writing stuff on me that was like he was writing all these, hardcore breakup pop, but had never even had a girlfriend. When you hear that, you sort of go. I mean, it wasn't like I wasn't in the front row at Shawn Mendes' gigs. I was backstage, but I wouldn't have been a massive fan of that guy. But when I heard that, I was sort of going. It's a bit shite, like,
exactly. It's not really. Yeah. It's not really
come from you. Like, that's what we say now. Any song we write that has to like come from something. Like, and with a new management on board, and his name's Brian, and he looks after Picture This and amazing team with Sarah and Adele. So he's like, I would say, the biggest management in Ireland. Completely amazing guy and stuff, and the team. So we had this task. So they were interested in taking us on. And obviously my brother Johnny sort of was managing the band. He got us to where we got, and we've been chasing Brian for years, like trying to get his attention. And how we met him was funny. So we were playing a festival in Cork, and we seen him standing.
I was like, I'm going to tap him. And
we
seen
him standing over there. Like, and we were like,
I was like, I'm going to tap him.
We were like, fuck it. It was like son of the high. We were like, we're going to go ask him to come watch us. And we went over and we were like,
it was like a tap in the back. Because bear in mind, right, he walks in. Everybody's like staring at him.
It's like Simon Coyle.
And everyone's like, and nobody would talk to him. Like, everyone's like, oh, right, Brian, I got there. And I was like, we're just four normal lads from Derry. Like, we don't care. We're not like all this pretentious, like, music stuff. And we're just like, let's go up and just fucking talk to him. Just be civil.
Come watch us, like.
Tap in the back. I was like, Brian, isn't it? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, what's crack, Dave? Gareth here, both from a band of Engro. We're playing at 4 o'clock in the Emerald Stage. So we love your work. We'd love to see if you come see us and see what you think. See if you can bring anything to the table. I just said it right, like, remember? And he was like, what's your name again? And we're like, Lavengro. And he's like, right. What stage? I was like, Emerald Stage. What time? I was like, 4 o'clock. And he's like, I'll see you there, man. And I was like, Jesus. So we left. And then remember when we were walking, we were like, just like mingling each other. He was like staring at us the whole time. And then we went up the stage in, and Nathan, our photographer and videographer, came up to us and was like, Brian said he wants two fags before he's coming up here.
He said he's not going to come watch us unless you get him
two fags. And he's like, I don't smoke and all. So we had
Nathan, fair play to him. He ran around that festival trying to get fags or cigarettes, whatever, off people.
I need to start doing that.
I know, it's class.
I'm saying to people, listen, I'm not going to do that for you. Make sure you bring me two bombs.
That's it.
I want things. Do you know what I mean? Get me a mug shot, right? I want the chicken and the chicken sweet corn.
That's it.
You sort that.
That's it.
Sort that in the middle of this festival.
It'll work. It fucking works. But people are hungry.
Sure enough, though, he showed up and he put us on his story and all. We like fire him. We fucking knew. And then we started messaging. And then things started. We put on a gig in Belfast, actually, in the Ulster Sports Club, and we were just chanting and stuff. And surely enough, he turned up with Sarah, who's also on the management team. And after the gig, we got chanting, and they sort of said, "Right, we'll give you a bit of a trial."
Do you remember before that gig though? I was down in the Modern Tires, get my tires fixed.
Yes,
and I'd seen the phone call. Like, so I remember.
Sorry, I love the way you just mix complete like. What would you even call it? Like Division 4 real life with like the shittest away days with this Rise to Stardom.
It's great.
I was getting my fucking tires done.
I know, and then I got this call.
Yeah. I was fucking smashing bottles of coins apart just to pay to get my tires done, you know.
And then I was living on the streets. Rags to riches. I remember, like, I was waiting outside then for a boy to take me in. And then his number rang, I was like, fuck's that there? Like, answered it. And he's like, "Hello, Dave, it's Brian. Do you want to play the Free Olympia Theatre in Dublin next week?" Aye, sweet. He's like, "See you there." Boys, we're in the Free Olympia next week.
It was a place, it's a dream venue. Like, we wanted to play
this guy. That's when we realized, like, fuck, this guy.
What was that? What was that? Was that just like?
It was a support gig for one of his acts called Leah Hart. She's doing bits down in Ireland and up here. She's brilliant, pop star sort of here. Like, she's great. But so that was a dream for us. And then after that, then we sort of knew Righty's interested. So he set us this task, and this is what I was going to say of coming to his gaff with fucking 12 songs.
Right.
So they set up like songwriting sessions and stuff, and we have a unit up in Derry, and we wrote 12 songs.
And
we went down, and it was one of the most surreal, awkward but amazing experiences. So we're sitting at a table like this, and my missus bought me this speaker for Christmas, like a Marshall speaker,
and we
brought out these gaff, like, they play these songs out of, and so there was 12 songs, and we
was
played
this, like, recently, like Christmas.
This was like about 2 months ago, maybe 2-3 months ago.
Right.
So we brought him down. We brought these songs, and it was just silence. Like, he didn't say anything until all the songs were done.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And then thankfully we had. I would say all of them were good.
It was 18 songs.
18 songs.
And 16 made like 16 was. He went, "These are really good." Mm. And I thought we were going to be about 4 of them. But they're good. And he was like, I would say they're just fucking fire. Like, they're like within a week they had a whole release schedule for the entire year. It was like, right, these are the songs you'll be releasing this year. And it's like, so that's.
And see, when you're recording them, like, are you recording them yourselves here, or do you just go to the studio, like, or are they demos you're playing for him, or what's the?
It's a mix. So like, there is a few demos that we played, and believe it or not, sometimes you don't need to hear a full track. Like, they hear a demo, a snippet of a demo, and they go, "That's a fucking hit."
That's
like, they go, that's going to be a smash.
Yeah.
And then you hear like a full song, you put your heart and soul on, and they're like,
"Nah,
that's all right." Like, do you know what I mean?
Right. You just don't know.
It's as I say, like, there's this producer, a guy called Philip McGee, and he's probably the biggest producer in Ireland at the moment. He does all the script stuff. And
as a comedian, I can't not say Phil McGee as a funny. You know, it's like Pat McGee or like... Sorry. As a comedian, I can't let that pass.
Can't let it slide, like...
Do you know what I mean?
Fair enough.
Yeah. Film a box. You know what I mean?
Phil McGee.
Yeah. Pat McGee. Pat is always a good one, you know. Yeah. Pierce McGee. Like, you know what I mean?
I'll never really pick his name. Yeah.
What a guy, hey?
But
hi, this is Neil before me. You know what I mean? There's, I've loads of these. Sorry. Sorry, so Phil McGee.
he's one of them boys where he's like, he got on the phone with us, and he was like, "I want to do a track." And when he comes knocking, apparently, like, it's a big thing, because you know if you do a track with him, it's gonna be a big song. And we were buzzing with this, like, and he was on the phone just, and he's all like, "Look, guys, I don't just get you on the studio." He's all, "I want to take this over a course of 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
I want every single guitar riff, every single hook that you sing, I want it sent over in a voice note, just so I can, because he can pick a snippet and go, boom, that's a hit."
From
single fucking things. He's just a whiz, but it's one of the things where, like, you'd be sitting, like, sending them all these kind of things. You're going, "Is this going to be good? Is this going to be good?" And he'll just, like, "No, that guitar riff or that one wee tiny melody, that's the hit. Let's work around that.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's, like, just crazy, because it's a different experience than what you're used to writing. Like, it's mental.
That is fucking mental. It's class, though. Like.
Some boys are built differently out there.
Like, genius. Like, it's a stroke.
Yeah, well,
genius.
It's sort of like, I mean, it's very different, to be fair, but there's some similarities with stuff like comedy there, too, like, where there's, like... You know, you can, it's always that, it's that same shit, though, of going, like, this is the bit that I think is the best shit.
Yeah.
There's a couple of jokes I've done, like, even in, like, I have this joke that I think is, like, one of the best jokes I've, like, I think it's one of the best little lines I have.
Mm.
No one cares. Like, every night I say it, it just goes
flat.
And it's like, it's off the back of a bigger joke, and then I just say this wee line. Mm. I'll just do it. No one cares. Don't laugh at this, because no one laughs, right? But I think I do this whole bit about, like, old people, right? And one of the bits is I say I'm great with old people, mainly because I have no problem pretending to be their dead son, right? And then I go, like, that's right, Ethel, you just send me on into that will or pet, right?
Mm-hmm.
And people are laughing at that kind of thing. And at the end of it, then I go, "Now sleep, Ethel," right?
Oh.
And people laugh at that. And then I go, "I'm knocking in tap-ins like Harold Shipman," right? No, see, that's what happens. No, people go, "What?" I'm like, "Tap-ins, like, he's a poacher. Like he's that's the best banter all night. And every night I say it, no one cares. And nearly every time I say it, I go, "That's a great joke." Best joke you've heard all night, and you didn't even laugh at it, right? And it hurts me. But like that's the thing where I go, like a really pro comedian would just take that joke out, but I refuse anyway.
No, keep it.
But like. And then it'll be something that you say off the cuff, or like there's a wee bit of something, and somebody else goes,
"Boom,
that's the shit."
Yeah, exactly.
But it's fucking same mad, sort of thing. That's mad. Like how long have you actually been like a band then? Like, I mean, what's that like about 8 years or something?
Roughly.
Yeah.
So it only started sort of happening. It was actually sort of after COVID. Like before COVID, with this one song, it done really well, and then since like 2021, 22 maybe, things have just started going like getting loads of attention and loads of like radio and and just sort of
those videos you are doing at the minute are funny. The Magic Road was funny.
Saw that video. That's a marriage spot.
I don't really be on socials. Yeah. But Chloe is, and she showed me it, and it was funny. And she showed me the one. Somebody jumps off a sofa backwards and
we had that in our drafts for about 3 months.
That was a funny video.
I want to post this now.
We bands and all, you get them being really like fucking pretentious, and we're just like we just love to have that crack.
But that's good though, that it comes, because do you know what's weird though? Some of the bands that I like the most, even if it's in different genres, it's usually the ones that are. When they're on stage and they're playing, they take that seriously.
Yeah,
but like they don't. Like one of my favorite bands is Killswitch Engage.
I heard them.
They fuck about a lot. Even one of them fucks about a lot, even on stage. But they don't take it. Metal bands are usually like real serious guys, and these are sort of just having the crack. And I think that comes across
100%.
A lot. Like that, it's just more fun experience.
Exactly.
But if the plan's good. Like, like, because one of the things I think, I mean, don't want to totally rim you, like, but like, one of the things that, like, I think sets you apart from other bands that I've seen from here, the vocals are like really good. But you know what I mean, though?
Because,
like, you'll see bands where the playing is good, and that's like, it's not that that's like a given, but like, the playing's good, and then somebody steps up to sing, and it's a bit like, it doesn't sound like that in the recording. Do you know what I mean? Because and it's not like I'm not sitting there going like everything's fucking. You know, I'm not one of these dickheads going like, "Oh, everything's fucking vocoded now and then." You get a watermelon to sing it.
Yeah.
I'm not one of them dickheads. Yeah. But like, it just doesn't. It's not good. Maybe somebody's not looking after their voice, or they're not naturally a good singer. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, so yeah, like, you see a lot of that. Like, I was thinking, singers are always the RA in bands where I'm like.
He's always been a fucker. Like, I remember, like,
because there's a video of his playing one of the things acoustically in like a fucking parking garage.
It's really good.
Last Christmas.
Back in like tech, like, so like the first year of tech, and like Gareth was in the class pure lit, and everyone had it. It was like fucking X Factor, but I had to play in front of each other so anybody can. I picked their bands, but Gareth, when he's all, "I was a crack, everybody, what's happening?" All if you're like, just all pure chatty laddie and all, and then everyone was like, "Who the fuck's this boy here?" Because everyone was sort of about artsy, and like, there was all a lot of metalheads and all this here, and everyone's like, "Hey, this boy's like, probably thinking this boy's about a clown," like, and he's like, "Oh, what? Well, just start now, will I?" And then, like, Ronan was like, the teacher was like, "Just start," and he's like, "All right, then." And he just sings 18 by Ed Sheeran, and the whole fucking place just went silent.
Oh, wow.
Everybody just went, "Jesus."
Yeah.
And then it's like, everybody was asking to be in their band after.
That's great.
I was like, fucking mad. Like, I was like,
"Oh, thank you."
That's great. Like, because it's like, it's one of them things. I just remember, I have like all these weird memories of being in bands, because like, I think as well, like, one of the bands I was in was quite successful for a time, and I just thought, well, if you show up, that's what bands are. Like, we were having like some success, and it was sort of like, well, here we're like legitimately five absolute dickheads who sort of sit in Subway all the time. So it was like, do you know what I mean? So we were sort of looking at each other, going like, whenever like, you know, like we were maybe doing gigs in other towns and they were full, or there's people there singing our songs, we were going, this is fucking mental, like, or there's like this many people, and this is fucking 20 years ago. So it was like, you know, you had a load of people on MySpace, and you're going, right? But like, we couldn't believe it. And then I thought, well, obviously, I sort of wrongly thought, and it's really naive as well, but like, I sort of went, well, obviously, if I'm in a band, That's what happens. This guy, right? Where actually you don't realize it's sort of like sometimes the sum of the parts is or sorry, you're greater than the sum of the parts, if you know what I mean. So it was like, yeah. So as a team, we were really good. Because then the next band I was in, I would say, with even better musicians, never got, and it was a different genre and all, but it never got to that. It never got anywhere near the level of success we were having in the other ones. So, like, my memories of, like, leaving bands and stuff are fucking weird for me because I sort of don't regret anything because it's all sort of led me to here. But there was times where I would look back and go, fuck. I probably needed somebody to sit me down when I was, like, like 18, 19, about to leave that band that was doing really well. Somebody should have gone, will you fuck up? Give it 6 months.
Yeah.
Because, like, the reason I wanted to leave was because we were sort of doing, like, we were like a pop punk sort of emo band.
Yeah.
And I was going, like, I want to leave because, like, I'm 19. Mm. I'm too old to be fucking getting on like this. And, like, I just needed somebody to probably go, will you fuck up? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, like, things were happening there. Like, it was good times. But, like, it's weird how, like, then after that, I spent about 6 months doing Irish music with my brother, and we tried to murder each other, and then and then I was in this other band for ages. But, like, one of the guys in that band never wanted the gig.
Oof.
Like, he was always going, like, but the gigs, like, we don't make a lot of money at the gigs, and you're going, it's not about making money, it's about putting the word out.
Exactly.
He was going, like, no, like, we'll just record. And I was going, well, we are recording, but, like, you know, and then we were absolutely broke. Like, I mean, none of us had, we didn't even have the money to go to a studio, really. You know, and two of the boys were studying, like, music and music tech at Queen's. Yeah. So, like, they were like, we'll record us and all. And you're going, yeah, but it'll not sound like it does in a studio.
Yeah.
It'll be good, but it won't be, do you know what I mean? So, it's weird still having those, like, I still have all those recordings and all.
Do you?
Oh, man. Some
of them, there's a couple of them are actually where I go,
decent.
That's fucking all right. And then there's a couple of them where I'm like,
nah,
control out, delete.
Some Brock from early days as well. With some Reggie Brock.
Yeah.
But what you're saying though, bands is that there's always this persona. Like, people think bands just show up, but like we eat, sleep, breathe this. Like our lives are sort of almost consumed by it. Yeah, like if you want to really be, again, we're not even scratched the surface like of where we want to be. But we've had a small bit of success, and even to get that is we're still skint to this day. We have no money in the bank. We're grinding every day, you know, and pushing. So it is it's a really tough somewhere to calmly, you know what I mean? And it's great to see people like here doing well.
Yeah,
you know,
no,
I mean, because the comedy thing in Northern Ireland just blew up in the last sort of it's fucking class,
since the pandemic, really,
it's
like,
just, and that's the same for us though. Yeah, so maybe at that time was that what really benefited.
Do you notice like a difference? Maybe obviously you're a good bit younger than me, which makes me sound even older. I shouldn't have said that, but anyway, maybe like do you notice a difference in like. Maybe, I don't know if it's people your age or just people in general, but like, do you notice like that maybe after the pandemic, people maybe drink a bit less and there's maybe more like people go to stuff more?
Well, if
you
know,
like it's actually, more like experiential, like, you know.
100%.
I think it's one of the things, whenever it was actually taken away from everybody, everyone went, holy fuck, they realized how actually much they actually needed it.
And then now because you can drink in the fucking house.
Exactly.
Exactly.
You don't want to drink, but it's like. You know, you want to see a band or you want to see music or comedy or something, you know.
People are like, I remember before COVID, like it was hard to sell a show. And after COVID, it was just, I don't know if it was, we put it down, they're like, oh, maybe it's because we had that a bit more success during COVID and now we can sell shows easier. But part of me thinks too, it was just after COVID, everybody wants to get out of the house. And fucking everybody.
What's the crack then? So you just have a new single coming out now.
Yeah, so it's called Lie. So it's coming out now. I know when this is going out, but it's coming out on the 2nd of Feb.
Right.
That's a big tune. Like, we'll send it the after. So we recorded it a few months back. It was the first one that stood out in that session in Brian's gaff. And everyone was like, right, that's the first song. So we're fucking busting to get it. Like, it's a big song. So we're excited about
that's
it.
That's class. So what's the crack like? I mean, it's going to be on like Spotify and fucking...
Everything, yeah. Spotify, Apple Music, everything. So it's we've signed a new distribution deal now.
Right.
With... it would be Ingrooves, who you're bought over by Virgin. We have no Duncan Don Brunson. He's not our boss. So we were happy with that. I think it was about a week after we found out we were with Virgin for distribution. It was like that Brunson stuff came out and we were like, oh, shit.
There's I mean, again, I'm not sharp today, but I'm getting like a Branson pickle sort of. There must be something. There's a joke.
Something on the air.
Somebody write it. I can't be fucked.
Jeffrey Epstein, flight log, Richard Branson. But
Nacker Island.
So we obviously this is coming out now through them. So it's everywhere. It's going to be everywhere on every sort of DSP.
Mm.
And then it's also going to be a new music video.
Right.
Which will be on YouTube and all our places. It's going to be everywhere. And we're going to be flat out on the social media, and Reels, just trying to promote it.
So here, see the magic road. I know this is totally unrelated to your single, by the way. Does that actually, it works? You go back up, is that real?
I
didn't know if it was one of them.
No, it's actually
real. Like a Ouija board thing where,
it is
actually real.
No, it actually, if you put your car, obviously, in the neutral, take a handbrake off, it will roll back up. Now, it won't roll back up as fast as I was doing it in the video. You know what I mean? I did it, I put it on the air for a wee bit. So it's like when the camera's all, I'm going to put it on the reverse and that, and when the camera goes back over that way, I just fucking on the reverse. And then that's what I said. I don't even know if you boys realise that.
But
it does go up slower than that. It actually does happen. And I don't know what it is. It's supposed to be like an optical illusion.
Oh, right, okay.
It's supposed to be like hull, but it's uphill.
If you had a football as well, and it'll roll up the hull.
Right, okay. Because that's mental.
It's like gravity. Gravity, I don't know.
Gravity doesn't exist in Donegal. It's sort of like, because there's loads of these wee things in Ireland. There's one at Loch Brickland, which is like just a shitty sort of wee lake between Banbridge and Newry or something, where they talk about the moving island.
Right.
That hasn't moved ever, by the way. And it's just a load of trees. And like somebody, like a load of years ago, somebody went out and stuck a Union Jack up on it. Oh, Kieran, I'll have you know that it's actually called a Union flag. It's only a jack if it's hung from if it's flown on a boat. And then somebody else went out, took that down, and fired up a tricolour, and now there's no flags on it. I think I might weigh it out, and do like a no blasters flag.
That's
on
a show.
But like, you know, but people say, well, we used to drive past it, and my man would go, there's the moving island, look. And you'd be like, right, and then you'd be driving past, and you would, as a child, you would convince yourself though
it's moved.
You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
A load of bollocks. Or there was one, the Vanishing River, but it's just a tidal thing. It's not as magical as you want it to be there. But anyway, what's the kind of plans then for the rest of the year then?
Plans is just to release as much music as possible. So obviously post COVID, like, we only really brought out a couple of songs. Like, so
do you do it as like singles now, instead of like as like an album?
100%. That's the way to do it now. Like, cause it's similar to the way the world is now. People consume content and like quick. As fast as possible. So exact same's happening in the music industry. If you're not on TikTok promoting the song, it's not going to do anything. If you're not putting up things, so same with singles. Like, so there's no point us releasing an album. No one in our target audience, they're probably not going to have the capacity to sit and listen to 20 songs, or you know what I mean. They just want boom, boom, boom. So the plan is like 5 or 6 singles this year, and then maybe an EP, loads of gigs and stuff. So something just popped into my head about gigs. Like, remember the boat? With Seamus, no.
What?
The boat with Seamus.
Seamus. Oh, Seamus? Are you gonna say that?
I don't know.
Seamus.
Seamus
is a dwarf that we smuggled back to Ireland from England. From England?
From
Liverpool. Scotland, and then Scotland and Belfast.
An actual human.
Well, we go for it and just tell a story. We were humming the hand, right? There was this guy, right? So we were in a gig in Liverpool.
People trafficking, by the way. Sorry, go ahead.
But we were doing this gig in Liverpool, right? And we were going to get the boat back. And we landed at the docks, and the boat was cancelled.
Right.
So my dad, really nice guy. My dad was a really big, friendly fucker. Like, and we landed under the reception, and there was this dwarf sitting there. Went for the name of Seamus. Anyways. And it was like, Seamus asked, oh, can you take me on the boat? And can you take me to Scotland? We had to drive to Scotland to get the boat in there. And the receptionist was like, don't take him. Like, don't take him. Or do not. He's the police are on their way and stuff.
Your man came in the corner and was like, buddy advice. He's all, don't let him in your van.
So we were like, fuck.
What?
My dad was like, he's Irish. We'll not let a man, leave a man behind. Like, sort of thing. He was from Galway. So we were like, never leave a man behind. So anyways, they were like, the police are on the way, don't take him. But my dad was like, no, fuck him, stick him in the van. Yeah. So we put him in the minivan. And
so you've got like happy, dark, dopey and dodgy, is
yeah,
that
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that's it.
So we put him in the minivan, and this was, it was a really, it's 600 of him, it was a really stormy, pushing down nighttime drive to Scotland from Liverpool, so 5 hours or something. But this guy was telling his life story about, like, my family hates me, I got, like, my brother killed my mother, all this.
He said as well, he says, but his family don't talk to me anymore, and we're like, why? And he's all, because they blame me, they think I killed my father.
And we're going, aye, that's what it was. And we're sitting there going, like, right. So the penny started to drop slowly at this, but I was fucking
well, this is
nuts.
Seamus Matricide, that's his name, isn't it?
But it gets worse. Yeah. It gets worse. And so anyway, we just kept...
Seamus' family don't speak to him.
I know. Hey!
That's class.
But you remember waking up in the...
So it felt like this, because we had to drive from Scotland. Scotland. It was... Sorry, from Liverpool to, what is it, Carrigan Ryan? Carrigan Ryan, isn't it?
I don't know.
Carrigan Ryan.
So it was like, I don't know, like 5, 6, 7 hours, I don't know. But
From Liverpool? Oh, it's a hurler.
So we were like driving over the Highlands and all there, and I remember I just kept waking up. I felt like I was in purgatory or something. I was like, this journey's not ending. And then every time I woke up, it was like the storm just like lit up the fucking the bus. Like, I remember I was like lying there, and then I heard like coming on, like sort of chatting, like the wee dwarf boy, and I was like, right, what the fuck's going on? I sort of opened my eyes. I was like, right, this journey's just not like going to end. And then the lightning just hit the bus. And then when it lit up the bus, I seen him on top of a chair going, yeah, and I got there. I was like, and I got the big shiver down my spine, and I was like sitting up against the chair going, oh, Jesus Christ. And then James turned around to me, and James all, and I was like, what are we going to do? And then we all just planned. Stories. James came back, he's all right, so what we'll do? Whenever next time we take a stop, I'll tell them, we take a stop here, we'll fuck him on the bus, we'll just start whacking him, just fuck him on the bus again.
We'll just start whacking him.
And he's going to kill us and all. I was like, why? And he goes, the stuff he was telling me when you were sleeping, he's all, this boy kills people, like, this boy's
to be fair, if somebody had, like, hitchhiked their way into my vehicle and started talking to me about how sometimes Irish families, you don't really get on, you know, you hold a grudge, like, you know, after you fucking stab your man.
I know.
You know,
it was all too, because James was talking about drums, and James all, aye, so I'm a drummer, and then your man's Seamus.
I love it. He's sitting there going, more like snare.
he's like, I'm a drummer.
Like, I snared somebody before.
But the boy Seamus. Yeah. The boy Seamus all, I used to play the drums. And then Gareth turned around, Gareth didn't hear him, he's all, what's that, Seamus, you have dwarfism? That's what he said. And he's all, I never said that.
I'm sorry, man.
I saw this boy's going to kill us. Like, so we got to the boat then, and then they were like, Leonard was like, has daddy wrote, they're going to count how many of us are. So we had to fuck him and say, there was a guitar bag, and there was one of them like massive guitar bags that holds two.
Oh, right,
like,
yeah.
In the middle. We took out the wee bit in the middle, fucked him and said, dad zipped it up. And then he was sitting there and he was all, thank you for this, guys. And then
you hit him in the fucking guitar bag?
I had him in the guitar bag. So
guitar bag, yeah.
They came in, they check, and they were like, she looked at the sheet and was like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, that's grand. And they got there, and then he was sitting, I'm the wee guitar beside him, I was like, fucking her, don't move. Got him on the boat.
Hiding in the drum case. Like, this is Tom. Sorry. That's Tom from
Mother.
Sorry. Yeah.
But we got him on the boat, and I told him on the bus that I'd buy him breakfast. He started saying he had no money, and I felt fucking rotten on this guy. Like, no family, no money. Just like a sort of nomad that goes on boats. So we were...
It's sad, isn't it, when you're stuck in a place where you want to help someone like that, and the only thing you can give them is a boat sausage.
That's
a boat, you know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah.
So I bought him breakfast and
a
all.
Boat
and
dog, you know what I mean?
The boat trip was mad, but he took a wild liking to my dad, didn't he? He just was in my dad's pocket almost. He was following my dad around everywhere. And
he has father issues of his own.
So he loved my dad. But anyways, end of the boat, I know we felt bad. We were like, right, Seamus, we left him in Belfast. We're like, wait, where are you going to? He's from Galway. Where are you going to go now? He's like, ah, oh, fuck it, I'll get back to Galway. Johnny, who was my brother, was on the trip, co-manager, as we said. He had this wild suspicion. He kept saying things, this boy, there's something wrong here. And Seamus, and we were asking, oh, we must get you on social media, what's your name and all? And they said, Seamus, I'm not going to say his surname.
Yeah, yeah.
Seamus something. So we were like, right. So on the way back to Derry, Johnny Googled him. And the stuff on Google and Reddit, man.
There was probably, I think there was like 29 convictions.
He's on Reddit! He's on Reddit!
Lad, there's some fucking...
apparently it was called...
Wee Man, he had a nickname.
A Wee Man. He had a nickname, Hitler the Gay Dwarf.
Yeah.
And then he...
Apparently, there was a glory hole, and this guy's got like a 12-inch fucking piece, like, and the stories are it's mad. He's famous on TikTok. And
what was
all,
the boy said? Apparently, it was all he would bit Conor McGregor in
a fight guy. Apparently, he was scrapping boys left and right. And all, there's some. I have a photo of him and all.
Apparently, he walked in to a bar. And bit the fuck out of 10 boys.
Is it mad that that's what happens just whenever you're just trying to play some pop rock for people?
That's
crazy.
That's crazy. You forgot to tell him to you, but on the boat, we actually became really friendly with him. And he was so sound. And he was like, one evening, we were like the side, so Jack and Jace were getting a wee smoke out the side of the boat. And we were like, where the fuck did Seamus go?
He looks like Christy Moore. He's
That's
what made that. Yes, yeah, that's mad.
We were putting them on the wee motorbikes and all, and getting photos with him and all. It was fucking
mad. It was just a mad story.
And he climbed to the top of the deck on the boat, and he was all, "I'm up here, guys. I'm up here." We were like, "Get the fuck out, man!" Jesus Christ.
It was like, honestly, it's madness.
Oh, mate.
This is crazy. So we brought him back to the country.
This has been. I'm so glad he's back. The wee man now. This has been a lot of crack. So your single's out.
Yes.
Lie is out on the 2nd of February. It's out now.
So Lie is out now,
And lads, listen, thanks a million for coming in. This has been a lot of crack. And keep in touch. And, great times. Thanks for joining us here.
Thanks for having us on.
No Blasters. We've covered everything from what's it like being in a band, to what's it like smuggling.
Smuggling.
Malignant little person on a boat. Yeah. So we'll see you in the next one. Cheers, pal.
Cheers.
Good luck.
Oh, no.